we're going to assume that it's only friends that have this problem, right? Potentially, it hits kind of close to home. Those of us who have been a believer for some time have either dealt with it personally or we've dealt with someone else who has struggled with doubting his or her salvation. In fact, over the years, well-known evangelists in places have made their reputation on seeing vast number of believers when they go into different locations accept Christ again or get saved. And when we're faced with that, often, at least for me, it's been the place of where as a counselor you say, what do I do and what kind of discernment can I use? There's always the option of saying, you know, we can settle this issue today. But the reality is there are people in your ministry potentially, and there have been people in mine in the past as this particular material developed through a series of counselees that I've dealt with in the last year or two. The sad reality, there are some believers who are, in a sense, paralyzed by this gripping fear that potentially they're not a believer. Some in ministry, some as fathers and mothers who struggle doing what God wants them to do because they're just constantly over and over and over playing out the scenario. Am I a believer? Did I do it right? Did I say it right? And if you've never doubted your salvation and you're here this morning in our crowd, or really just praise the Lord that that's the case. But for the majority of us, there have been moments in life when we have wondered, and definitely there are counselees who wonder whether or not they're saved, and it's a big part of the struggle of life. So we ask ourselves the question, why? What is the reason? What are reasons why some people doubt? This isn't, of course, every reason, but it's a few of the big ones. One counselee told me that every time a pastor stood up or a speaker and said, "Are you sure you're going to heaven?" panic would absolutely grip their entire soul. And so they would sit in church services and they would sit there in anticipation, potentially this pastor is going to ask whether or not I'm saved, and then I've got to face the reality one more time. This particular person, a graduate of a seminary. What are some reasons? Well, one, maybe they cannot remember a specific point, either a time or date, when they received Christ. John MacArthur, in one of his books, says that he can't remember when the specific place when he received Christ. He just knows he's a believer. I figure if it's good for John MacArthur, it's good for probably most of us if we don't know when. Maybe some of you, are like me. I was saved as a real young child, and my parents wrote it in the flyleaf of my Bible, so I would never forget the day that I got saved. There was only one problem. I lost my Bible. So who knows what that day is, but I assume that there was one. I'm like John. I would say, yes, I'm a believer. Right? There's just this sense among some preachers, even as they've preached and as our counselees come to us who have been in some kind of religious background, where maybe the pastor has stood up or an evangelist and said, well, if you can't remember a specific time and place when you receive Christ, then you're not saved. I've even heard some go so far as to say, well, if you can't take, and they hold up a particular Bible version, if you can't take this Bible version and show me the verses where you were saved, then you're not saved. Well, that can create a small problem in the hearts of your counselees. Maybe another reason, they question the procedure they went to obtain salvation. Including, did I know what I was doing? You get to a verse like Romans 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they hear that and they start asking these questions. And I've had counselees come and say, well, was I in a public place? And really I did it privately and I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it in my heart. And maybe I was in my bedroom. And Did I go through the right steps? And maybe I prayed the wrong words, and maybe I didn't know what I was doing, and potentially I was just hoping to get out of hell and wasn't really wanting God to be my Lord and Christ to be the one that I followed. Right, all these thoughts that are going on in a person's mind, and they're concerned that maybe they did the procedures wrong. Maybe somehow they didn't get all the box checked. Maybe they have an area in their life where there's this continual struggle with sin. What are we talking about? We're talking about an improper view of sanctification here. There are some people who would suggest if you're currently struggling in sin, potentially you're not a believer. You just need to get saved again. In fact, where our seminary is, it's in the Ozark. It's in Springfield, Missouri, there on the southwest side of Missouri. And there's a national headquarters to a very large denomination where they would suggest, in terms of sanctification, we hear this often, if you're in sin, then what you need to do is just get saved. And if you get saved, and this time it'll be a real salvation, then you won't struggle anymore with sin. And there's this sense that salvation fixes sanctification. So every time you're in major sin, well, then you just need to get saved again because that's going to get you back on track. It's just the easy fix. You believe the gospel, you get saved, life will be different. You'll never have struggles again. Reality is some have not had victory over sin for years and years and years. And they say in their heart, there's no way someone that's saved can do these kinds of sins and can struggle this kinds of struggle. I've heard well-meaning believers say, there's no way I can be saved given the number of years I've struggled with this particular sin. So it is something that grips the heart of counselees. In fact, there's even some believers. I know of one friend of mine that one time we were with a group of pastors, and as we were there, some pastor said, oh, did you hear about this guy? He committed adultery. He was talking about another pastor. Right? It's not right to gossip. So he just to tell the story, really, he was in sin. And my friend who was with me, I wasn't really the one that needed to confront him. I was just within hearing distance. But my friend says, how stupid could you be to commit adultery? He's not saved. And I just graciously said, you know, if you get a mirror, he's just about that stupid. Right? Any one of us could sin. Truth and love, right? There's a combination. So, there are very well-meaning people who say with certainty that they know a person can't be saved because they have this particular struggle in their life, when in reality that might not be the case. Maybe your counselee has a misunderstanding of what the Bible says about salvation and the finished work of Christ. Maybe it's a theological problem. They don't understand what the Bible teaches. They're not familiar with what the Bible says about sin and the cross and their inability to either earn or keep salvation. Some people have an idea that there's some kind of maintenance clause or a contract to keep salvation instead of the finished, sufficient work of Christ on the cross. Or potentially they look to their feelings to settle the issue of salvation. Really, we know that for any person to do this, you'll be a struggler for a long time. There's mornings you wake up and it's easy to feel saved, and then there's all the rest of the mornings. Right? If you're following your feelings, it is hard to stay on top of your game if the game is salvation here. The last thing on your mind some mornings is being a child of God. So it's going to be uphill and downhill, and really, if the feelings are our guide and our authority, then we'll never have any sense of assurance of our salvation, or, of course, sharing it with our counselee as well. So there's lots of reasons. These are just a few of why people may doubt their salvation. The question I want to ask you is it wrong to doubt? Is it wrong to doubt your salvation? Should you flee from doubting? That's kind of a trick question, because really the question here is there ever a time when you should carefully consider whether or not you're saved? Right? There's absolutely times that we should consider whether or not we're saved. There's two ditches we want to be aware of here.